share with you out of the Gospel according to St. Matthew that you've already heard in your hearing. I'll read verses 24 through 27 out of chapter 16 again, and supporting scripture coming from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 20th verse. Bless you, bless you. God is able. God is able, and he will step in. In most situations, he's already there. We just have to recognize and realize that he is doing just what we asked him to do. The Bible reads this morning, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Amen. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 20, a very familiar passage that reads, "For ye are bought with a price. Yes, sir. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. On the basis of those verses, we like to use the thought of subject this morning: discipleship comes with a cost. Amen. Discipleship comes with a cost. Working on the outside. We all need a little something on the inside. And if you got anything on the inside, every now and again, it's going to work whether you want it to or not. Sometimes you don't have no idea. You don't have a mindset that I just want to feel it. It just jump on you anyhow. The reason why, because it connects with something that you already got on the inside of you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can't nobody but the Lord make the Spirit come in you. But God has already placed it there. All we got to do is just let it have its way. So many times we quench the Spirit of the Almighty God. But ain't it a good thing to know God is such a wonderful God? God has been so good to us, and I don't know about you, but I owe God a praise in the house this morning. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. For if it had not been for the Lord, who is on our side, where would we be this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. We are thankful to God this morning. And I thank God, and I hope and pray that you have something down on the inside. If you don't have anything there, we're going to help you get a little something this morning. Because there's something about the Spirit of God. It has no respect of persons. One thing about the Spirit of God, you don't have to even have a dollar in your pocket. And you can get all the Jesus that you really want if you want it. But a lot of times we don't get it because we just don't want it. We want to be in the midst of the service, but we don't want to be in the service. But how many of you come to be in service this morning? Hallelujah. Come to lift up the name of Jesus. Come to magnify his holy name and come to exalt him and let somebody know, if nobody else but your inner self, that I still love the Lord. I'm still glad that God is on my side. I'm still glad that he is a forgiving God. Is anybody glad that God has that power of forgiveness? If God wasn't a forgiving God, we'd all be most miserable right now. But because of the power of the Lord, we got a reason to praise him this morning. Because of his grace and his mercy. And such the fact that he is such a loving God. We can all say this morning collectively that we are still here. We made it through winter, and despite all of our ups and downs, we made it. There are those that might say, "I'm so glad that it's getting warm," but now there are those that really like the winter too. So we have to understand that it's not all about us. It's about what the Lord God has made and what God intended to happen. And when the Lord God does something, we ought to be glad. We ought to be glad, first of all, that God is able to do it, that he has done it. And then he's allowed us to witness what he has done. We have been created from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And after that, we became what they say, living souls. And now that we are living, we ought to thank God for every breath that we breathe. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day we ought to be glad that the Lord God has allowed us to see the dawn of another day. When we consider all of the loved ones that have passed on and how people we see today are gone tomorrow, we have to make preparations right now to be ready because we don't know when our day is going to come. God has blessed us to come into this place of worship one more time. And because of his blessings, we ought to be glad for our here being. I am a true witness this morning that if we walk by faith and trust in the power of God, that our days would be filled with more peace. A lot of time the enemy get the upper hand on us because we don't consult with God enough. We don't allow the Lord to be our solid rock. We don't allow the Lord to be that foundation that we stand upon, and knowing that if we stand on the solid rock of Jesus, that everything will work out for our good. If we understand and we believe that we are in the hands of a mighty God, and the Bible declares that as long as I'm in his hand, that no man is able to pluck me out. So if I know that I'm in the hand of a mighty God and no man is able to pluck me out, all I got to do is stay in his hands. Anybody glad to be in the hands of a God that is able to do what nobody else can do? This God I'm talking about, he's a healer, he's a keeper, he's a deliverer, he's a sustainer. He is that kind of God. You know, when we used to hear that he'd be a mother for the motherless or a father for the fatherless. And at that time, you may have had your father and mother there. But after they had gone, then the reality of those words came to face, and you realize that he is just what he said that he is. For there are times when even though you never forget your loved ones, there are times when he stands in place of them and lets you know, I'm going to allow you to remember all the good things. I'm going to allow you to cherish those things and know that because of what you have in your heart, they will always be with you. It's a good thing to know that I've lost, but I have not lost because I carry my mom right here. I thank God for that love because that's the kind of love that won't leave you. What we need to do is join our forces together and learn how to pray one for another so that we can strengthen one another along the way. We got to understand that it is all of our responsibilities. Once we have heard or know the good news, it is our responsibility to share the good news. Talk about it to our brothers and sisters, letting them know who we belong to. Let them know that we belong to a loving God and that God is a forgiving God. Let them know that the God that we serve, he wants to bless us. We got up this morning blessed by the best. His love for us was so great that he allowed his son to come and to dwell amongst us in the flesh. But as he came in the flesh, he also came to suffer, bleed, and to die. John records Jesus is saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His main purpose for coming was to die. His divine love was given freely and unconditionally to provide for all of us salvation. You're not saved because of what you don't do. You're not saved because you done changed friends or you got a different mindset. You're only saved because of the grace of God. For the Bible teaches us, for it is by grace that we are saved, not by any merits of our own. A lot of us like to stick our chest out and like to boast about the fact I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. But if you're so saved and sanctified and full of God's Holy Ghost, every now and again, your light ought to be shining. Every now and again, you ought not mind lifting up holy hands. Every now and again, you ought not mind understanding that even though you're saved and sanctified, there's still time when you got to go through. And how many know when you go through, you got to hold on so that God will be able to bless you as you're going through. Sometimes when you're going through, you don't really understand why am I going through when I've tried to do everything that the Lord wants me to do. And many of us know that regardless of whether we try or not, we don't always meet the mark. There are times when even though we got intent, even though our mindset might be that's what we want to do, there are times when we fall along the way. But I'm glad that when we fall along the way that we have a loving God that looks down with an eye of compassion and mercy, and a loving God that will put people in my life that if I can't get up all by myself, I got somebody that will extend a helping hand and say, brother, get back up. You don't have to go through it all by yourself. I am my brother's keeper. We got to learn that we are here one for another. And if you're so selfish that it's all about you, then that's your business. But I'm glad to know that I got friends. I'm glad to know that I can't do it all by myself. There are some folk think that they don't need anybody, but everybody needs somebody. That there are folk that think that I can run this church all by myself, but I found out I can't do that. I need everybody in here, the greatest to the least. Every one of us are important to ministry. Many members, but yet one body in Christ. So we got to understand that the Bible declared that that part of the body that you seem so unnecessary, it is very necessary. So what I'm saying that those of you that feel like I'm not important because I don't sing on the choir, I'm not an officer, I don't do this or I don't do that, just be you. You don't have to do all the things that other folk do. All you got to do is love God with all of your heart and with all of your mind. Treat your neighbor like you want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you don't have to worry about what it is that you ought to do. God will begin to work with you and minister to your heart and let you know that there's something that you need to be about your Father's business. Does not James say faith without works is dead? So you can believe, 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 but God wants you to work, work, work. Anybody hear me? Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Too many lazy Christians in God's house. Too many folk want to sit down and be rubbed down. Too many folk want somebody to bring them everything. Every now and again, get up. Go get it for yourself. Always waiting and talking about what somebody else have or have not done. What have you done? You got to make yourself available to the Lord. Then you got to take away some of those shackles and you got to take away those blinders off of your eyes so you can see him as he really is. I thank God because of his unconditional love for us. I said on the other night in making a point, it holds true this morning. That is that I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. He's been too good, and despite all the tricks of the enemy, how many of you still got joy? How many of you know that no matter what the enemy tried to do against you, you can still hold on to a little bit of your joy? Now, Shirley said that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and I'm not going to allow the world to take it away. But how many times do we let other folk take our joy? There's some folk that look at you cross-eyed and will take your joy away. There's some folk that will turn their backs on you and take that smile that was on your face and turn it down into a frown. But you got to learn how to not be so thin-skinned. Don't worry about all the daysayers and the naysayers, but worry about what he said. He said that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He said that I love you, that I gave my only son for you. He said that if you open up your mouth and ask me for something, hallelujah, Jesus, if you ask and believe, then the Lord God will do just what he said that he would do. This morning, as we enjoy the first spring Sunday, so good to welcome the warmth of the sun. Visualize the beauty of the blooming trees and the budding flowers. We know that spring is in the air. When spring comes, we also know that Easter is just a couple of steps behind. Time to lighten the layers and brighten the colors. And pastels are all busy and happy colors that makes you feel like old man winter done went on and gone. Now, as we make preparations for our Easter celebration, and think about how much Jesus has done for us. We fellowship with family. We eat ham and potato salad. We dress the kids to impress. We host Easter egg hunts and Easter Monday barbecues. Easter is a very good time of the year. Easter is that time when we think about Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. But let us also realize that we got to know that it's not about us. It's all about the power of a mighty God. We look at the fact that God created all things. Jesus came and died for us all. But regardless of all that we've heard, all that you might know, there's still many people that don't believe in Jesus the Christ. You see, that's what makes us different. There are a lot of classes of people. We may have a whole lot of different lifestyles, but there are only two kinds of people. You're either a believer or you are an unbeliever. You got to make that choice this morning for yourself. Paul teaches us in Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul is saying that I want to grab your attention, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So in other words, while there's still breath in your body, while there's still some use and things that you are able to do, give yourself to the Lord while it is yet still day. A living sacrifice. In other words, sometimes you got to make a sacrifice. You got to go beyond. You got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to go beyond what the norm. You know, a lot of us, we don't like to get out of the norm. We like to stay right in our safety zone. And as long as we're in our safety zone, we feel like everything is going to be all right. But there are times when God needs us to step out of that comfort zone and to walk by faith. And as I walk by faith, not by sight, I realize that it might be dark on the outside, but the Lord God is my light and my salvation. So even though it's dark on the outside, I got a God that sheds light on every situation. So we got to thank God. We got to thank God. And once we offer ourselves as living sacrifices that can be used by God, be holy and acceptable unto God. Then Paul says, through which is your reasonable service. So he understands that we may not be able to do it all, but you ought to be able to do something. Are you doing what is your reasonable service? Or do you feel like that all I got to do is just show up? That some of us feel like all I got to do is show up. Then we go and run and call somebody. I was at church this morning. But did you get anything out of the service? Did you contribute anything into the service? And I'm not talking about your tithes and your offerings. I'm talking about yourselves. Because this is what Paul is talking about in offering yourself as a living sacrifice, not what you can give outside of yourself. See, Paul realized that, and we got to understand that instead of offering animal sacrifices to God like the Jews did, we got to give of our own selves. We got to understand that we don't need a lamb. We don't need a goat. All we need is just to open up our mouth. All we need is to use our hands. All we need is to use our legs for what's good for the Lord our God. The blood of Jesus has already been shed. And once he shed his blood, it was for the remission of all of our sins. If we believe. Now, when we believe, then we also fall into the classification of disciples. So now, our theme this morning says discipleship comes with a cost, which indicates that to be a disciple is going to cost you something. Whole lot of us, we think that all the church is about is a dollar. Whole lot of us think that all the church is about is just somewhere for me to come and to release myself. It's a good thing to be able to let go and let God. Good thing to feel the presence of the Spirit of a mighty God. And as I told you on the other night, if you want to praise him, you praise him. Don't worry about the praise haters that sit in the midst of you. But you got to let God have his way in your life and thank God for what he has done for you. Everybody's not going to praise him, but if you love the Lord and you are a disciple for God, you ought to have a mind to praise the Lord our God. A disciple is a personal follower or student of Jesus the Christ. One who turns people to Christ and tells the old story of Jesus and his love. Disciples make Christ their number one priority, learning how to grow in him. When you are a disciple, then that means that you have decided that I am going to follow the Lord. So now that you're going to follow the Lord, in order to grow, you got to know who he is. We know and remember that Jesus is the same little baby that we celebrated in December, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But when we talk about him during the Easter season, he's a grown man. He's doing public ministry. Jesus had a unique way of teaching. Whenever he spoke, people couldn't help but to listen. And as he taught the disciples many things, but most things he taught them in segments, because you got to understand that you can't handle everything that the Lord has for you at one time. So the Lord God, Jesus himself, realized that I'm going to teach the disciples, but there's something they're ready for and there's some things that they're not quite ready for. It's just like where the word of God said that there are those of us that are yet still on milk. We still got some old folk that are still on the bottle. We're still drinking milk from the Bible, but every now and again, you ought to be able to get a little lean meat. And the only way God allow you to eat some lean meat, then you got to digest that milk right first. You can't digest the milk, how are you going to chew up the meat? So what Jesus did, he taught them in segments and in parables and giving them different examples of things that they would have a clear understanding of what he was trying to say. And so now when we get to this 16th chapter, we realize that Jesus realizes now that they are ready to hear some sound doctrine, because by time is not going to be very long. The Bible says from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, when we see where it says from that time forth, in other words, what he's saying, now that you're ready for a little heavier meal, from this time on, I'm going to give you some sound doctrine. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to rub it down. I'm not going to break it down. I'm going to give it to you just like it is. And what I need you to know now is that I got to go to Jerusalem. And when I get there, I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to suffer by the elders and by the chief priests and even the scribes. I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to die. But understand that on the third day, I will rise again. But then the Bible said Peter took him off to the side and rebuked him and said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you." In other words, Peter was saying, "Lord, I know you're not going to die. I know you're not going to leave us. Now, Lord, I know you can't be talking about the fact that you're going to leave us." Then the Bible says, he turned and he said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thy savior is not the thing that be of God, but those that be of men." See, he realized that I'm not worried. He's not worried about me. He's not worried about what God sent me to do. But all he's worried about is his own selfish motive. There are those of us sometimes we like to know that as long as I got mine, everything is going to be all right. So what Peter said, "Lord, I don't want you to go out. I can't see you dying like that." But the Lord said, "You got the wrong motive." But then Jesus says unto his disciples, "If any of you want to come after me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Now, this is the cause of discipleship. If you're going to trust and believe in the power of God, Jesus says, first of all, you got to deny yourself. It's not all about you. It's not all about your family. It's not all about what you got planned. The Lord God is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and then all the other things shall be added unto you. So you got to deny yourself. You got to let go of some things if you want to follow me. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. But before we jump there, let me jump back to take up your cross. Because we got to realize we're always talking about Jesus hung on the cross. He bled and he died. But if you are going to be a disciple, there's a cost involved. And that means that you too got a cross that you got to bear. You might not be hanging on a wooden cross on Golgotha's hill. But there's somebody in the house this morning that realized that I got a cross that I got to bear. I got trouble on every hand. Every time I turn around, if it's not one thing, it's another. But I found out that if I trust the power of God, this too shall pass. I got a cross that I got to bear. I got some good days and some bad days. I got some days when I just don't know what to do. But I just stopped by to tell somebody this morning, if you trust the power of God, if you're going to be a disciple for the Lord, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. Say, Lord, I'm going through some trials and tribulations, but I'm going to hold on and hold out. My body might be in pain. Sickness might be in my life, but I know a doctor that has never lost a case. Bible says he healeth all of thine diseases, and by thy stripes are we healed. I just want to let somebody know this morning that you better take up your cross. You better follow the Lord our God. And when you begin to follow God, you better say, Lord, wherever you go, I'm willing to go with you. I'll go wherever you want me to go. When I follow God with all of my heart, I realize that every now and again, I got to hold on and hold out. Because if I want to go to heaven one day, I got to trust the power of a mighty God. There's a cost for my discipleship. I want to go to heaven, but I can't go all by myself. But I see right here in the Word of God, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? You might want a big mansion. You might want a Mercedes Benz. But all you need is just something to get from A to B. Somewhere to lay your head. If God bless you with greater things, then you ought to be able to tell the Lord, thank you. Anybody come to give God thanks? If you're going to be a disciple for the Lord, you better let some of your selfishness go. Let those things go when you can't get along one with another. You got to trust the power of a mighty God. Say, for God I'll live, and for the Lord I'll die. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Because one day the Son of Man is going to come with all of his glory, with all of the angels in heaven, and he's going to reward everyone according to what you've done. I want to tell somebody that you have been bought with a price. You don't own your own self, but the Lord God paid for you a long time ago. Don't you know there's a price that had to be paid for your life? And that price was the blood of the Lamb. I want to thank God that I am a child and a king. And my God died on Calvary Hill. But I want to let somebody know that you better let your body be the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that is down on the inside of you. And when you get the Holy Ghost, be just like Jesus. When the Lord God said, I want you. When I got up out the grave and he went by to see the disciples, realized that they needed some power. The Bible said he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Ghost. And when they got the Holy Ghost, everything began to work out. They had a comforter. They had a leader. They had a guide. They had a healer. They had a bridge across troubled water. I want to tell somebody that if you want to be a disciple, then you better gird yourself up. Put on the whole armor of God. Because there are going to be times when the enemy is going to rob you. That old devil is going to tell you you're not going to make it. But you tell him, get behind me, Satan. I am a child of the High King. I'm going to put on my cross. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going with the Lord wherever he goes. I know this morning that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be able to walk right now. But because of the power of Almighty God, I'm glad to be a disciple this morning. If you want to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord, just go with some of that old mess. Lay aside every weight, every sin. Pick up, get up, show up, and let God have his way. I'm glad. Discipleship comes at a cost. You got to be willing to give up something you've already been paid for, and you were paid in full. Wasn't no layaway program. Wasn't no debit card. He didn't put you on that credit card. But it was paid in full immediately when the blood shed from his veins. And after he bled, suffered, and died, he did just what he said. For the Bible declares on the third day, on the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. And so now look at that picture. He is a man that was strung out on the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, got up on the third day with all power in his hands. And because he did all of that, I don't know about you, but that ought to be reason enough right there that you want to be a disciple. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower of Jesus the Christ. But I know that if I'm going to do it, then I got to take up my own personal cross. So that trouble that you're going through, that heartache that seemingly just won't let you have no peace, I want to let you know something. The worst is over. You got to trust that God has already stepped in your situation. And he going to do what needs to be done. Now, I couldn't write on a piece of paper, tell you when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. But I can tell you from experience that if you got faith in God, look beyond what man says and look to the hills from which cometh your help. That loved one that you look at, you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Keep on talking to him. And you can say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you do. And I'm going to count on you to do it. Because you do what you do, I'm going to follow you. But I just wanted to let somebody know this morning that in being a disciple, it costs you something. You got to give up your personal agenda and take on what the Lord God has purposed for your life. There are sacrifices to be made, but God has bestowed gifts upon all of us, different gifts. And we bring those gifts together collectively to let God be God. There's nothing like the power of a loving God. And when I looked and I realized that Christ, he allows us to know in advance some things that are going to come to pass. We are now living in what we call the last days. He's let us know in advance through this word. Prepare yourself. Get ready. I'm soon to come. And if you want to follow and go back with me, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Serve the Lord while you can. Do all you can while the blood is yet running warm. And there will be a day when you're going to say, Lord, it's me. It's me standing in the need of prayer.